everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs podcast. It's 2024 and it's the end of January, and I'm here with we're all three pigs are here.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Wow.
There's Steve Skelton
who said wow.
There he is. And there's Steve Falk who also said wow.
I'm me.
Yeah, he's drinking a weed drink of some kind. We're going to do a little, cause we haven't hung out together even virtually for a while. So, we're going to do a little bit of a bacon episode, and we're going to start with a segment that we call What Have You Seen Lately, talking about the movies that we've seen lately. Steve Falk, we haven't heard from you in a while. What have you seen lately? What do you want to start with?
Hi everybody. Let's see. What have I seen lately? You know what? I'm just gonna some things I saw this month. I saw a bunch of movies. One thing I saw was Society of the Snow. Did anyone watch that?
Oh yeah, that's like Alive but without eating people.
Yeah, it's like Alive is the Young Guns version, and this is the more
Young Guns 2?
More accurate Spanish language version of it. The guy J.A. Boyega, I think that's how you say his name, maybe. He directed The Impossible. And anyway, he directed this, and it's about the Uruguayan soccer team back in the 70s that hit a mountain, hit an Andy. And and broke apart, and then they lived in a fucking hollowed out plane for months and months, eating each other. It's pretty good. It's not bad. It's pretty brutal, but it's not like overly dour and overly serious. But it's also not overly like. Accurate. It just, I mean, maybe it is really accurate, but it just feels kind of like it rides the line of like entertainment and, you know, docudrama pretty well. It's not like wonderful, but it's very watchable and pretty compelling.
Compared to Alive, the thing I remember about Alive is when they were eating their friends, it looked a lot like chicken. What does it look like in the new?
Yeah, it looks like raw chicken, I would say. Yeah.
All right. So not much has changed, but that's cool. So no Ethan Hawke.
No.
Which
thank
is
God.
Either great for people or not.
I'm gonna say that's good for everyone.
Probably. Well, I don't know. He's done a lot of fun horror stuff. Skelton, what's your thing?
Oh boy. I gotta qualify this by saying I don't have a good reason for why I watched this other than I tend to watch most comic book movies. So I watched that Aquaman 2.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. And even for you expecting it to be a kind of a mess, it's stunning, surprisingly worse.
Really?
Like it felt like I was watching like a resurrected Ed Wood had been given $300 million to make a comic book movie. Like it's so nonsensical and all over the place. And it's like the first one I didn't particularly like, but it was a hit and audiences seemed to dig it. And so it just, I guess it hit, the zone for the audience, but I thought it was a pretty, you know, by the numbers comic book movie. So it didn't, you know, I was like, kind of skated on the charm of Momoa. There's no skating in the second one. It is like, and Momoa has a story credit on the script. So it feels like it was like a lot of meetings to just like, and what if we did this? And what if we did that? And nobody kind of went, okay, but should we make a cohesive? It's just so wildly all over the place. And there's a whole bit where at the spoiler alert, everybody for Aquaman 1, Patrick Wilson is defeated and put into ocean jail, which is actually on surface jail in the desert somewhere. And of course, in the sequel, you end up needing him. and they got a team up, you know, which is they're just doing like this exact same stuff they did already with Thor and Loki. Right. In fact, they even make a Loki. But he goes to collect Patrick. I'll shut up about this in a minute. He goes to collect Patrick Wilson from jail, from desert jail, but they're like underwater people. So he's been away from water for a long time. So they do this. They do, you know, when they like made Chris Evans the skinny Captain America before he got the serum.
Yeah.
They do that to Patrick Wilson, except it's like the CG is clearly like they only had a week to do it. So it's like way worse and clunkier. And he's got a ridiculous huge ZZ Top beard.
Oh.
And that's pretty fun. Because it's so ridiculous. But
okay.
Yeah, it was.
It doesn't sound fun.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not ultimately, but that's the silver lining I found. Anyway, Aquaman 2, I don't recommend it.
Yeah, it sounds awful. I'm not going to see it. I have another aquatic film that I saw in the theaters this January. It was called Night Swim. It's a Blumhouse picture about people who go swimming in a pool at night that you should not swim in. They shouldn't.
Because it's a haunted swimming pool.
It's a haunted swimming pool. And if you get too far into the deep end, you'll get pulled down by demons, ghosts.
By sinister forces.
Sinister forces. Yeah, you're right.
Good news, everybody. We're putting in a pool. Bad news is it's haunted.
It's haunted. Yeah, yeah. Actually, the pool from the get-go is shitty. They're like, hey, this pool's shitty. What should we do with it? And the real estate people are like, I would fill it in and just put in a yard. And they're like, no, but we've always wanted a
like,
pool.
Well, like a haunted yard? No, just a regular yard.
A regular yard. Yeah, it's not. I mean, Hillary was cool with it. I guess I was. I mean, I was high, so it was fine. You know, PG-13 thrill ride, not really, but it's fine. It's a creepy pool. Falk, what else have you seen?
Let's see. Oh man. Well, all right. The other day, cause my wife, was a little horned up for, I saw the Iron Claw.
Oh, okay.
The hunky 70s wrestling, picture.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
With the bear and the other guy and that other guy and Zach, what's his name? Zach Efron.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're like the cop from Manhunter, or Mindhunter, whatever that show was called.
Oh yeah. 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 I can't remember.
Mind Grabber. Anyway, I hated it. I really hated it.
You weren't horned up for it.
No, I was very unhorned up for it.
Anti-horn, dishorned.
Zac Efron looks exactly like Mark Ruffalo halfway turned into the Hulk in the movie. It's really disturbing. Like it doesn't look good at all. And he's so like fucking jacked up. And it's just like it's not fun. It's just like tragedy. It's like wrestling, tragedy, tragedy, tragedy. Wrestling. Maura Tierney puts on another funeral gown. a little bit of wrestling. It was bleak and unpleasant to watch. Not hunky. I don't recommend it.
Who it was no Aquaman
like
too.
That? Who is a movie like that for? Do you suppose?
I think it's to fool horned up ladies. No, I think like, you know, there's a lot of people in this country who for some reason still like wrestling, despite the fact that, you know, Vince McMahon was shitting on his coworkers and forcing them into sex trade. Yeah, some people love wrestling. So I think it's for wrestling people because they're like a famous family. It's like a real story.
Yeah, some people really love wrestling.
Yeah, but oh boy, what garbage.
Okay, that doesn't sound fun. Skelton, what else have you seen?
I mean, I did rewatch Battle Beyond the Stars for my favorite shitty movie, one of your other shows. So I rewatched that and the movie, a Corman sci-fi Star Wars ripoff I've seen a million times as a kid. And I watched it again and I loved it again.
Yeah, it's hard to hate. There's a lot of
George spirit. Pappard has a belt that dispenses scotch, soda, and ice.
Yeah, it's
a the dream. Future, people.
I like
it's
that.
It's a sci-fi dream. I saw, I don't know how many you guys have. I have a ton. I also saw in the theaters this month a Jason Statham movie called The Beekeeper.
Oh, how is The Beekeeper?
It's delightful. I highly recommend it. It's a perfect January movie. It's the best January movie of this January for sure. Yeah, it's totally fun. You know, it starts with Felicia Rashad, and then you're like, oh, really? They're giving work to this rape enabler later. It's fine. But then she shoots herself in the head, and then Jason Statham gets mad about it, and he goes and he kills a bunch of nerds. And you know me, I loved it. I love when nerds die. Yeah, I hate the nerds. It's just fun. It's just funny that all these dudes who are doing the, they're like tricking people into giving them all their, you know, bank information so they can drain their accounts. And they're all like, you know, like one of these phone bank. What was the movie with Vin Diesel and all those guys? It was
about Boiler Room.
It's Boiler Room. But like these nerds who are ripping off old ladies who kill themselves when it happens. It's very fun. And the action's great. It's very simple. It's a lot of punching, you know, and blowing things up. Jason Statham's character loathes guns. He will not hassle with guns, but he blows everything up with explosives. So that's the kind of movie we're dealing with.
How often and how many bees are used?
There are a lot of bees, and they play into the climax a little bit. But I mean, it starts with him, you know, getting honeycombs out of beehives. So he's a real beekeeper, but then also a beekeeper is this special secret government, you know, task force that
And there's no better way than to keep something like that secret than to pick up an occupation that's the exact same code name.
yeah it throws people off.
Well, he wouldn't be that dumb. He can't be part of the secret beekeeper's force.
No, but I think you guys would really like this. This is
I definitely want to see Beekeeper.
I would see it too. Yeah, for sure.
It's totally worth it. I think it's even worth it in the theater for the like true B movie experience. Falk, what else do you have?
I just watched a movie that I had never seen, 1974, California Split. Mm-hmm. You guys ever see that?
Oh yeah.
It's George Segal and Elliot Gould as degenerate gamblers in Reno. And all they do is like drink and like harass women and gamble and smoke cigarettes. And
that sounds great.
It's pretty great. It's an Altman movie. So it's really discursive and kind of like, you know, laconic in its kind of pace, but it really has that kind of Cassavetes vibe, and you know, Elliot Gould in that 70s era is so fucking good and fun to watch and just loose, and George Segal is absolutely great. I love George Segal. I didn't realize how much I miss George Segal. You know, I'm not a massive Altman fan. I like my movies kind of tight and like thought out rather than just like loosey-goosey. But if you like Cassavetes and Altman, California Split is fantastic.
All right.
So you don't care for Popeye?
No, I don't. Well, I did as a kid. But if you it's really the climax is pretty tense and fun and you know, they're gambling, so they're bad at it. And real worth watching.
You can't make an exciting movie about good gamblers.
No. But it has kind of like I get really tense with gambling movies. Like, you know what I mean? Like Uncut Gems was so fucked up. That last, last act was so horrible for me. And this isn't quite like that, but it had, it evokes that kind of feeling.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Skelton, you got something else?
Yeah. I watched a movie that showed up on Netflix that I just had ignored, when it came out. But it was on Netflix, and it was late, and I didn't want to get off the couch.
Sure.
So I watched it, and it's the Skarsgård, The Legend of Tarzan.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Tarzan. With Margot Robbie and Skarsgård.
When is that from? I don't remember
It's not that long ago.
Like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah. Weird. And I was actually surprised at how much I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's full of like just terrible CGI animals. So that's, you know, that's just a given. But it has this weird kind of, tonally, it feels like a 90s studio picture.
Hmm.
It's got this weird kind of, you know, vibe to it that I kind of liked, and Skarsgård and Robbie are pretty interesting. They're doing pretty interesting takes on the Tarzan and Jane characters.
Hmm.
And it's got what's his name, who's always the bad guy ever since Tarantino, doing his bad guy thing. Christoph Waltz. Fine. He's fine. He's doing his thing, and it's perfectly fits in the period.
One thing. Yeah.
And it fits perfectly fine in the period. And so, yeah, I was like, I figured I was going to like, I'll dump it after 10 minutes and, you know, watch something else. I watched the whole thing and I was like, yeah, this Tarzan's kind of mad at everybody. I like that.
Yeah.
And then, and they do all the dumb swinging through the trees and the yodeling and shit. Like,
yeah, I agree. It's kind of a fun, dumb movie. I mean, which is all you want from a Tarzan.
Yeah, no, it was perfectly, you know, yeah, perfect. It was like popcorn movie. It was perfectly fun popcorn movie.
It's very fun. I saw that came out on January 19th, which was also my birthday. Two movies came out, and I went to see them both in the afternoon, which is like my sort of tradition. Every year I try to go to see two bad movies released in January. This year was special because I got both ISS, the sci-fi thriller movie, and Founder's Day, the slasher satire. Hill took, you know, she took the day off of school and played hooky with me, and we went to see him. She really liked ISS.
Wow.
But I'm curious. Like, I want you guys to see it so you can
tell me. I do want
to
see it.
What you thought. Because I know you guys didn't like Life, the movie with, you know,
oh, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. And yeah, that didn't.
What's Life?
Life is, it's like another orbit astronaut movie, but in this one, there's a little monster that turns up.
No, I didn't see that. I don't think
you didn't see Life? Oh, I liked Life. Skelton didn't. I thought for sure you'd said you didn't like it. But anyway, ISS is not, it doesn't have the alien element. It's just, it's sort of like in between Life and Gravity, there is ISS.
Oh, I'll see that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really a really fun B movie. I mean, you can't expect it to go to huge places. But for what its budget was, I felt like I was in space. And the conceit of the whole,
how high were you?
I was high, but I wasn't super high because I'd only just had the edible. I was more high when I saw Founder's Day right after ISS.
That's fair.
I did like ISS a lot. Founder's Day is a slasher movie set on Founder's Day, in a small town, and it's, you know, it tries to be Screamish, and all that. It didn't bother me because the gore was good. I thought, you know, the kills were good. And like you mentioned, I was all like, the edible had fully hit by the time I saw Father's Day. That's important. I was just sort of delighted that I was at a movie and watching a movie. Hillary was entirely unimpressed. She did not care for Founder's Day. She thought it was bullshit.
I'm assuming no edible.
She did not. She doesn't agree with marijuana. THC.
So when your review is didn't bother me, Hill's review would be bothered me.
Yes. It bothered her. Yeah, for sure. But it didn't bother me. But I mean, you know, unless you're a huge slasher person, don't bother with Founder's Day. But ISS, if you're into like, if you liked Outland, you know,
love Outland.
If you like that kind of stuff, then ISS is probably going to work for you.
All right.
Love me some Outland.
What about that movie where Matt Damon makes pea potatoes?
The Martian?
Yeah. The Martian.
Fuck that movie.
Pea potatoes.
That movie was just boring for me. Do you guys have other movies? Whatever.
I saw a lot of movies.
I did too. I wanted to mention a couple streaming pictures that I saw.
Okay.
I'm going to allow this.
Yeah. One for negative reasons, and I watched it because I had seen The Beekeeper and I really liked it. And then there's this movie with Aaron Eckhart called The Bricklayer that started streaming on the same day. And The Bricklayer is no good. It's not fun. And he is actually, like in The Beekeeper, he's actually
is a bricklayer. Is his secret government operation also called Bricklayer?
Yeah.
Then I'll complete the trilogy. I saw Master Gardener, which is Joel Edgerton as a gardener who used to be a former assassin.
And was it good?
It's like the landscaping action trilogy.
No, it's the third in Paul Schrader's late trilogy. Including that First Reformed and then The Card Counter.
Right.
And this is the third one of that series, but it's by far the worst. And not enough, too much gardening, not enough killing.
Fair enough. The other thing I saw, and this is a movie from a couple years ago, I guess, but I'd never heard of it. And it just turned up on Shudder or one of those streaming services, but it's called The Perfection, and it's got the lady from Get Out, the young woman from Get Out who's creepy in the end, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The girlfriend, and Steven Weber's in it, and the trailer. I watched the trailer, and it looked like like there's a scene where there's like a bunch of worms crawling under a woman's skin, and she's
What's it called?
The Perfection.
Oh yeah, my buddy edited that movie.
I really liked it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, the crazy thing about it is because I was saying the trailer has like a woman who's like got these worms crawling, and she's like, "Get them out!" to her friend, and her friend's like, "There's only one way to get them out, like an axe." And you see the trailer, and it's like, "Oh, this looks like an awesome like alien, creepy alien invasion, slithery thing," but it's not. It's way more disturbing.
Yeah, it's a cello movie.
Yeah, it's cellos and limbs being lost. And
yeah,
Steven Weber is so fucking creepy in this movie.
Do you know my buddy David Dean?
I think so, yeah.
His wife Terry is a casting at NBC. Anyway,
Yeah,
it's a good movie. I like that movie.
Yeah. I wanted to boost that one because I really liked it. I was surprised. It was very disturbing, and I was watching it with Hillary and Colby, and Colby at a certain point went, "What the fuck are you showing me?"
You're bad parents.
We're like, we're sorry, we didn't know it was this disturbing.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Wanted to watch a lady get worms in her arm, but yeah. Yeah, it was funny.
Look, as long as you live under this roof, you'll watch armworm movies and like it.
Oh my god.
All right, so we're gonna move on. That was fun. We're gonna move on to our main discussion, which is about the Oscar nominations. And even though none of us have actually prepared anything, we're leaning on Stephen Falk to sort of talk us through the nominations. Maybe explain to us some of the controversy that's come out of it and how we should wager in a Oscar pool that might happen.
Oh,
a hypothetical.
Yeah, sure. I won't do that part. But
why not?
Yeah, the Oscar nominations came out last I think Monday or Tuesday. And there's a couple controversies. One is that Barbie sort of in mirroring its plot, Ken Ryan Gosling got a nomination, but the director and star/producer Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig did not get nominated, which was kind of weird, or people were surprised. The cries of sexism, though, were a little bit dampened by the fact that there is a different female was nominated for Best Director. But yeah,
and that, they also got like there's like a best.
Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor.
Screenplay, Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor. Yeah. America Ferrera was a very big surprise, nominated for Supporting Actress. So it's like, it's not this like clear cut thing, but it did piss a lot of people off.
Yeah, but they're also, I know they're, are they both part of the production?
Who?
Team Gerwig and Robbie. I know Robbie is one of the producers.
Margot Robbie produced it. Like,
so she's nominated. She's nominated on that.
Yeah, yeah, but they're talking about as Barbie.
But the acting, and directing, they were left out of.
Yeah, and that's sort of the only, you know, there's as always, there's controversies surrounding, like, you know, some snubs like Flowers of the Killer Moon. Leo did not get nominated, but but the lead actress did, Lily Gladstone. And then there's a lot of like what category should it be in questions that are pretty serious this year in terms of screenplay, like adapted, like Barbie's forced to be an adapted screenplay, even though it's adapted from what? Doll.
Yeah,
a toy.
The marketing copy on the box.
It really doesn't make sense. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. And other things like that. But anyway, there was a lot of actors of color nominated, so that wasn't one of, you know, that perennial sort of controversy was kind of muted this year. But let's just start talking about them. Let's talk about Best Picture. There's 10 these days, as you guys know.
Yeah.
And they are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, which is a mostly foreign language film, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and the Holocaust picture, Zone of Interest. I just realized I've seen 8 of these.
I've only seen 4 of them.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen half of them.
Mm. Yeah, I did not see. I've yet to see Poor Things simply because I have small children. And we didn't get a screener, and the zone of interest, because my zone of interest in seeing it is very
minimal.
Minimal.
Is it interesting to you guys at all that there are like a couple of these movies up for Best Picture, like Zone of Interest and Oppenheimer, that are about white guys doing horrible things to other people, but you only see it from their perspective and never see. I mean, it's interesting that's like a trend. I
don't think it's a trend. I think it's
a coincidence.
Hollywood. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's not a coincidence.
I mean,
Hollywood likes to make movies.
Well, yeah. I mean, white male voices are always front and center throughout the history of Hollywood. So
even when they're douchebags, I guess that's true about Flowers of the whatever moon.
Well,
Killers of the Flower Moon, at least like Scorsese got through a whole draft and a bunch of pre-production before realizing this is the wrong way to approach it, and really sort of went into the Osage point of view and got a lot of feedback and a lot more input in the film from the nation. I'm not surprised at all that there's a Holocaust movie. I mean, I think the point is, right, that it's from Germans who were complicit, and so complicit that if I understand the movie without having seen it or read much about it, they accept a plot of land right on the edge of a concentration camp, and
for the commute. So the commute's good.
I don't know if it's for the commute. I think I don't know if they're connected to.
What else would it be for? He works at the place. It's right.
Oh, he does. I don't know that, but anyway. So I think that's the point, that you're focused on these domestic kind of stories, picnics and birthdays and things, while this horrible thing is happening like yards away. So I think that they have to be front and center for that. But
it's just interesting that there are a number of movies. That's all I'm saying. Like this year, it seems interesting, at least, to point out that there are all these movies about white guys doing horrible things to other people.
Yeah.
And I mean, Killers of the Flower Moon, you have more of the native experience than the other victims in the other movies.
Yeah.
But it's still minimal. It's very minimal. You don't really feel it. You don't feel the horror of what those people went through through Killers of the Flower Moon. You don't feel it. I mean, I don't know about this Nazi movie, but you don't feel it in Oppenheimer either.
Oppenheimer never even mentioned all of the people of color that were displaced in harm's way of all the atomic testing.
Right.
Like it just was glossed over. Like,
right.
You know, but it wasn't even glossed over. It wasn't even mentioned.
Well, yeah. I think I don't know. I have a problem with that notion of if something isn't included in a story, that it's glossed over. I don't think that's really the right.
Oh yeah, no. I'm saying it wasn't glossed over. It just was ignored.
Yeah, I think left out of the narrative.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the best thing for the story. I get what you're saying there, Steve. The only thing I think is interesting is how many of these stories are up for Best Picture this year. It's just interesting.
Yeah. And we don't have to talk about that anymore. But I do think that I actually kind of hate it when there's a movie about something and then they spend 15 minutes giving, here's the inclusive part. And it really doesn't.
Sure.
It kind of changes the POV of the story and doesn't make
But when the inclusive part is the Holocaust or genocide or anything like that, I mean, it's just for me, it's interesting that the genocide, you don't like in Oppenheimer. I don't think Oppenheimer is a very good movie, but you don't feel at any point the actual weight of what Oppenheimer does and creates. You get a lot of hand wringing and white guys putting their head in their hands and thinking about this horrible thing that they're doing, but you don't get a sense of actual Holocaust, which is what it was. I mean, it's like a bomb goes off and kills a million people. I mean, that's genocide. So like, I didn't feel that in Oppenheimer.
Well, Oppenheimer is such a first person narrative that it was even written in the first person, as like the screenplay is I.
Yeah.
So I think the point is the alienation. Once they took those two bombs away, he was out of the story. He learned about them dropping it from the radio. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's on purpose, that that's supposed to tell you something and mean something about the creation of the bomb.
Sure. Yeah, I get that. Totally.
Anyway, so Best Picture, you know, everyone says Oppenheimer's going to win. I like other movies better,
that's the case? Do you think they're right? Do you think it's Oppenheimer?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't see anything else coming close, really. I mean, Holdovers, like, people fucking love Holdovers. I was not a big fan, but that has a lot of love and a lot of momentum.
Yeah, I liked it fine, but I don't think... Yeah, I mean, I didn't like Oppenheimer much better than Holdovers, but I think Oppenheimer's would edges out over Holdover.
Yeah, I liked Oppenheimer. American Fiction is actually my favorite of those movies. I love it.
I haven't seen that yet.
That's the
one I really want to see.
Yeah, it's super good. And Past Lives, Christine Vachon finally got nominated for an Oscar after, you know, 45 years being the queen of independent film, which is really nice. And Past Lives is a good movie as well. Okay, Anatomy of a Fall is dope too. If you haven't seen that,
Is that streaming yet, or do you have to go to the theater? Do you have to
That I do not. I saw it in the theater. I don't know. Best actor, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. I don't know. I have no idea who's favorite. I think Cillian Murphy, but Paul Giamatti is probably a really, really close second, I'm guessing.
How many has he won Oscars before, Giamatti?
I want to say yes, but I know it wasn't for Sideways. He has not.
He's been nominated, but not won.
Yeah, he won like Emmys for like Adams, I think.
Yeah, John Adams.
John Adams.
Yeah, but and he's been nominated. I don't think he's won yet.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, like as far as the contest within the movies, within the acting performances, regardless of what you see him, I would say it's between those. So it comes down to, is Cillian Murphy going to get it because his Oppenheimer's so good? Or is Paul Giamatti going to get it because he's been Paul Giamatti for decades?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he has a lot of love, and he's working really hard on the circuit. I think he's a little more, and I mean that really actually means a lot. I think who woos the old people who vote?
Yeah.
And he's
so you
he's
take your Golden Globe to an In-N-Out Burger, and you eat your In-N-Out Burger with your Golden Globe, and
yeah, you're like one of the people, and everyone likes him, and. Yeah. Okay, and then best actress is Annette Bening for Naiad, which is a swimming picture on Netflix.
Yeah, did you see that?
Naiad.
I saw Night Swim. That's as far as I'm. That's as close.
Yeah, she was.
It's no at swim fan, but
I like that movie.
Lily Gladstone from Killers. Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall. She's also in Zone of Interest, and she's great. In general, Carrie Mulligan from Maestro, which I finally just saw, and Poor Things, Emma Stone.
How is Maestro now?
Is it a mice? No.
It's fine. It's okay. It's fine.
It's a mice. Maybe it's a mice.
Yeah.
It's a mice. Oh.
It's really wants to please, and I find Bradley Cooper a little Jimmy Fallon-ish for my taste in general. Just as a artist, he's a little puppy-ish. You know, he just wants to be liked so much, and. Maybe overreaches a little bit in his sort of intellectual ability, I didn't love Maestro, but there's some stuff to like about it, I think.
Okay.
I didn't see Naiad. I thought Lily Gladstone's amazing in Killers, which I quite liked, and Sandra Hüller is amazing in Anatomy of a Fall, and I think Emma Stone, from everything I've heard, she's fucking brilliant, and I'm guessing will probably win, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, everybody seems to be hot on this poor things movie.
Yeah,
right.
I think we got to see it. Supporting actors: Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction, Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer. I think he's the clear favorite. Ryan Gosling in Barbie and Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things.
You don't think that this is going to go to Gosling? I mean, I think, you know, to really make everybody fully mad about the Barbie thing, he has to get the award.
Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, his performance in Barbie is hands down my favorite performance of his in ever. By far.
Of all time.
Oh, by like leaps and bounds.
What about the Nice Guys? You didn't like him in the Nice Guys?
He's good in that.
He's fun in the Nice Guys, but he's really, really fun in Barbie.
Yeah, and I think for me, Ryan Gosling's abilities are what he's the limited things that I think he's good at as an actor are all in Barbie. And whereas in most movies, he does things that he's not quite as good at.
So they're exploiting him properly in Barbie.
I think so. Yeah, he's kind of a dummy.
He's used 100% in Barbie.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. But no, I don't think he'll get it. I think Robert Downey Jr. and Oppenheimer. And I actually, like, I saw the movie once in a regular, like, theater, and I didn't quite get his storyline. And then I saw it in 70 millimeter with all the nerds, IMAX 70. And at that point, I understood his storyline better, and I really, really appreciate his performance.
Oh,
I
think okay.
Yeah, I think he's really, really great. Whereas I thought it was sort of bifurcated before. Sterling K. Brown is hilarious in American Fiction, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, I want to see that movie because I hear it's ludicrously funny. I mean, oftentimes when you hear a movie's funny that's up for any kind of Academy Award, it's not.
Yeah. I wouldn't walk into it thinking it's like a balls out comedy, but the stuff that's funny, it really works. And Jeffrey Wright is just tremendous. So good.
Okay. Yeah.
If you want to see something funny, watch Napoleon.
Oh God.
I watched the first half of that.
How is it? Terrible?
It's awful. Yeah. But it is funny. He's right.
The problem is like, the movie spends its entire running time trying to top its first 15 minutes where there's a beheading and a horse shot with a cannon, and it can't top that.
No, it can't get there.
It blew its wad early. supporting actress, Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Daniel Brooks in Color Purple, America Ferrera in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. I think it's clear to everyone that Divine Joy Randolph is going to win and maybe deserves it, I guess. I liked her in it.
I like her a lot.
Yeah, she was really good.
I just saw that movie.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Steve. I was like, I don't know what the big deal is, but it was fine.
No, yeah. It's like I found it to be like a perfectly serviceable drama with good performances. Yeah. But it just, it wasn't like, it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the opening shots of that movie, though, are from like where my parents live. So that, like the opening shots that look like they're from Bellows Falls, Vermont, which is right next to where my parents live in New Hampshire. I was like, that's gotta be Bellows Falls. So I was really engaged for like 20 minutes, but it never went back. I never saw that setting again. So I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't.
So for a movie to really grab you, it has to sort of directly involve you.
Yeah, somehow. It has to directly involve me if I'm not in it.
And locations he thinks he recognizes.
Yeah, it has to be somewhere where I've been.
I've been there.
Dude, that looks familiar.
I know that.
That's me.
Now I find this movie relatable.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen anything I recognize in a while. I don't like this movie.
You guys are talking like this is outrageous. It's not. It's how the audience works. You got to put it in the places that they're from, and then they'll be like, "Hey, I like it."
You know, one of the best examples of that was I went and saw a theater a movie on this theater in New York over on I think it was 6th Street. I think it was a Cineplex Odeon at the time. I think it's the Village something right now. Anyway, I went and saw, I think it was Carlito's Way in the movie theater. And in the movie, they're outside the movie theater. And the whole movie theater was like, yeah, that's us. They all just cheered at the same time. So wildly excited to see their movie theater that they were in.
That makes sense.
It's like when you know, like the Eagles like change the city in some song to be like, you know, and I never got out of Chicago, and everyone's like, yeah.
Oh no, that's how AI is going to ruin movies. It's just going to change locations based on where the movie's playing.
Oh my God, you're right.
That doesn't sound that bad. Okay, go on.
Directors directing. The aforementioned female Justin Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for Zone of Interest. I think Christopher Nolan's going to win, but
Yeah, I think definitely that feels like that's in the bag.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Jonathan Glazer movie called Birth?
I want to say yes. Is at Scarlett Johansson?
Nicole Kidman.
Oh.
Nicole Kidman has a husband who dies, and then she gets married to what's his face from 30 Days a Night, Danny Houston. And she's
always a good guy.
And they're about to get married, but then this little kid shows up in their lobby and he keeps asking for her. And then he tells her that he is her husband reincarnated. That's like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid.
Wow.
And then it's this whole movie where she throws her life out of whack because she's not sure if it's real or not.
Does he fuck her?
No.
No, isn't.
But they do take a bath together. It's an uncomfortable
movie. Wait, they take a bath together?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I stand corrected. This is Pornhub.
If you haven't seen it and you're in the mood for something that doesn't work, that tries really hard.
When am I not in the mood for that?
Yeah, it's just the choices they made from the gate, out of the gate, were bad choices. And it's
hard. Steve, can you double check those Best Picture nominations? Are you sure Aquaman 2 isn't on there?
Hold on. American Fiction would be followed. Oh, Anatomy of a Fall would be followed by no, it's Barbie. They may have not done alphabetically correctly. Let me see. Yeah, no, it's not there.
There's 10 of them, and none of them are Aquaman 2.
Snubbed.
Okay.
Cocaine Bear is on there, right?
I'm gonna jump down to. I just want to mention one thing. Have you guys heard of a movie called El Conde?
I don't think so.
It is nominated for Best Cinematography.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's a black and white vampire movie. I think set in like Pinochet. Under Pinochet's rule or something.
Okay, actually what it is, I want to see it.
It's some allegory. It's some Latin American allegory for some tyrannical reign. But it's a vampire movie, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. It's on Netflix. I was sad that Godzilla.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Yeah,
it's a Netflix show.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I don't know.
El Conde. Look it up.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Godzilla Minus One only got one Academy Award nomination for visual effects, but I was like, that was for me personally. It was the best movie I saw last year.
I think I'm gonna see it this week.
I still haven't seen it. I really, really want to see it.
Black and white now.
It's in black and white. I'm going to see the black and white one. Yeah.
El Conde is on Netflix. That is confirmed.
Yeah, looks good, huh? Okay. Okay. And then I'll just jump to the writing. So adapted screenplay. And every time I talk about the Oscars, I'll probably say this every year from now on and probably have. But the best tweet I ever saw was, at what age should you tell your screenplay that it's been adapted? It's hilarious. Okay, adapted American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest. I guess Oppenheimer's gonna win, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the Barbie being an adapted screenplay. I just don't get it.
Because they absolutely did not want to put it in Best Original category. That's why.
No, it's very, I mean, it's real. There's really Byzantine rules, but there's also like, there's a lot of examples where I can't remember what movie was like, someone wrote a screenplay and then made a short. Oh, this was Damien Chazelle, Whiplash. He wrote the screenplay, then made the short to raise money to make the full one. Then he was nominated for adapted because it was based on his own short.
Adapted from his own short, yes.
full screenplay
that he used to actually make the movie.
That's so stupid. That's ridiculous. Also, you can't adapt a screenplay from a fucking plastic doll. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, it's pretty stupid. But anyway, so and then original Anatomy of a Fall, Holdovers, Maestro, which is somehow not adapted.
Even yeah, how is Maestro not adapted? Isn't there a bunch of...
May, December, which they tried to argue should be adapted because it was, it's a riff off the Mary Kay Letourneau, fucking your student case.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But I think they didn't have to go into adapted. And then Past Lives. I think
because the credit would have had to have been adapted from that Mary Letourneau fucking your student thing.
Yeah, they didn't want to put that on. Yeah.
That's weird. That sounds weird.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah, that's, and I think what's going to win that one? Probably Holdovers.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out a wild card and say that's what they give Maestro.
Nah.
Best original screenplay?
No way. But you should vote that if you're ever in a pool for the Oscars.
What are they? They're going to give something to Maestro. What's it going
to
be?
They're not going to give anything to Maestro.
Maestro is just going to
lose. Okay, no. Maestro may get makeup because that amazing guy, what's his name? Kazuhiro designed it. And he's a genius at makeup. Okay. So they'll probably
definitely makeup feels like a
but that's a controversial one. Choice because the makeup in that movie is considered by some people to be anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I know, but it's not.
Well, it may not be, but I'm just saying the Academy. I don't think the voters think like you do, Steve. They think, oh, I don't want to look bad.
Yeah. Here's some fun. So visual effects is always fun to see. The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon for visual effects.
I definitely hope Godzilla wins that. The Creator's effects were very,
very good. I love the Creator.
I didn't like the movie, but I thought really it looked gorgeous. Yeah. It was beautiful looking, and the effects were fantastic.
But we've got Ridley Scott's movie that's not getting any other awards.
But Napoleon, no, I don't think Napoleon's going to get nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
You heard it here first.
Fair.
Unless there's a best, unless there's an Oscar for best horse shot with a cannon.
what I was like looking at also at, music, not score, but original song, because there's a nominee from Flamin' Hot, the movie about Cheetos.
Oh yeah,
the Longoria made. Diane Warren made a song called "The Fire Inside."
God, I hope that wins.
I really do too. I'm just Ken, and What Was I Made For from Barbie are both nominated. So
that was like when the nominations came out, there was like a social media post of Gosling's reaction, and it was just like Ryan Gosling suddenly realizing he's going to have to perform the song at the Oscars.
Yeah, he is. Anyway, those are the Oscars. Y'all got Oscar fever?
Oh, I had got nothing but Oscar fever. I think I got long Oscar fever.
I don't have Oscar fever at all. I really don't care. That's the thing about the Oscars and award season in general for me is I witness people getting into fights about nominations and snubs and all that on my social media. I'm like, why do you care? And they all, when they get in fights and their thing is losing, it's the Oscars don't matter. And I'm like, well, if they don't matter, why are we all fighting over it? It's just, I don't get it. I don't get the fervor. I don't.
Yeah.
I want to understand it. I want to get excited about any of these movies, but they're never my genre. Prestige dramas are not my, that's not my thing.
Yeah. Bring back the Blockbuster Awards. Come on.
Yeah. I'm serious. Or the People's Choice.
People's Choice.
Let's get some people's choice.
Let the people speak.
It's their choice. Let it be their choice.
Why can't we just do that? People's Choice.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited, and we can let people in on this. I'll see you guys at my party. I was.
I don't know how to. Oh, fuck. I mean, it's like when I fill out the ballot, it's basically just guessing.
Okay.
I don't do a lot of research, but now you've tipped certain things in a certain way, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, but you're still gonna have to fucking research live action short and like sound design.
Yeah, and you know,
yeah, if I want to, or I just take a, I mean, like regardless of what I do, if I do the research or if I just guess, the outcome is the same. I never get the response right.
Okay. Well, go for the communal experience less than the gambling.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like you're very good at gambling.
No, I'm not. I'm really bad at gambling.
That's the Oscars, you guys.
All right.
We did it. We explained the Oscars.
The Oscars are fixed. Everyone is fine with it now. No one's mad about the Barbie snubs. It all makes sense now.
We did it.
Yeah. Again, that was awesome. Next time, let's fix anti-Semitism when we do the show.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah, no, that shouldn't be a problem.
Right. We'll see you next month here on the Film Pigs podcast. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.